We welcome you this morning. We want to expand on a couple of the announcements in the bulletin. So if you would look at your bulletin. On the back of it is an announcement about our five-day club that will be taking place from June 22nd through the 26th. And just to add to that announcement, there'll be a meeting this Wednesday at 6 p.m. for all those who have signed up to help. So the teachers and the helpers and whatnot. That'll be this Wednesday here at church at 6 p.m., a meeting for those. They could use some more people to sign up to help with refreshments. And there's a table in the foyer for parents to sign up their children. So there's just a whole lot of signing up to do for that, but we trust that you'll respond appropriately with help for refreshments, or to sign up your children, or perhaps other children that you know will be coming. And we would really appreciate that. And then for the ones who have already signed up, remember a meeting at Wednesday at 6 o'clock here at the church. There'll be a Christian Ed Committee meeting tonight after the evening service. So if you're on that committee, plan on being here. There's some things to talk about that need your presence. And so we would ask that you be here, and that'll be right after the evening service in the room that you normally meet in. Remember to pray for the Haiti team. On the bulletin board in the hallway, we posted an itinerary, a day-by-day thing. You can take a look at it and know where they are today, where they'll be tomorrow, and on through next Sunday. So do remember the Haiti team, the four that are down there now. Again, pray for health, pray for safety, pray for a good ministry, pray for a blessing through them to the Haitians, and also perhaps a blessing on them. They just need your prayers because they are there. And so remember to pray for the Haiti team. Megan Looney, she's leaving us again. Thank you, Megan. Going to Nepal, suburbs of Kathmandu. Not going to climb Everest, I understand, but going to Nepal for 6 weeks, leaving today, and she'll be heading up a team, ultimately from Teen Missions, and doing some work there. So remember to pray for Megan and the team, but especially for Megan for the next 6 weeks or so while she'll be gone, serving the Lord with Teen Missions over there in that little country of Nepal. And if you read the newspapers and stuff every now and then, you read about Nepal, and most of it is the two different groups fighting with each other. And so it can be the element of danger, not personally directed, but just because you're there. And, of course, it's a very pagan country. Satan is alive and well in Nepal. And so you want to remember to pray for Megan and pray for the rest of her team. Ken and Lisa, you have to stand up. Megan leaves and these folks come, and we are glad. Thank you. Thank you, guys. We're glad to have them here for a while. And they have been over in Africa, and they're here now for not just here, but in the States for about a year. And Ken's going to speak tonight. And if you've been following their adventures, so to speak, it's a kind of a redirection of the ministry that they were going to have. They went over there thinking in terms of Bible translating into a tribal language in Mozambique. And over the years, the several years, the Lord has redirected them into starting or getting involved in starting African Christian University. And Ken's going to kind of lead us down that path and tell us about that, and inform us so that we as a church know what we're supporting and how we can support it better and pray for them more intelligently. So all that to say that it is very important that you, as part of this fellowship, are here tonight so that you will know what the Lord is doing in Ken and Lisa and the kids' life as well. And we trust that you will be here. Some of you have never met them, and you need to take this opportunity to meet them as well. Just choice servants of the Lord. We're glad they're here. But tonight's very important, and we would encourage you to be here because of the report that Ken's going to give us in the evening service. We are glad you're here, and we come together as believers. We come together in the name of the Lord, And we trust that this service will be pleasing to him, but at the same time be a benefit and a blessing to you as we sing and as we look into God's word. So we're going to ask Chris to come now and lead us in our service.
Good morning. It's good at the beginning of our service just to turn our focus to God. So if you'll stand and take your hymnals, we want to start this morning with number 66. It's "To God Be the Glory." Let's sing together number 66. To you this morning and realize that no matter what our circumstances are, we can give you glory because of the great things that you have done for us. And we just thank you for this day that we can remember, especially your son's sacrifice on the cross. I pray this in your name. Amen. Let's turn over to number 97. We'll just continue with "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." It's number 97.
Bring
Thank you. You may be seated. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 17, Dale is going to come and read our scripture.
We'll be reading in John 17, beginning in verse 13. But now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may also be one. Even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me and didst love them, even as thou didst love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou didst love me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known thee, yet I have known thee, and these have known that thou didst send me. And I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them. Let's pray. Our Father, we're just thankful for this morning, for this passage, to know that we are in you. And just thankful, Father, that we are protected by your love and all that you do for us. I just pray this morning, Lord, that you would quieten our hearts, that as John comes and shares this passage this morning, Lord, that you would help us to understand that who it is, Lord, that we really do serve, and how great a God we have. I thank you for each one here this morning, and may we leave here this morning, Lord, blessed, and just encourage us, Lord, to walk closer in you. We thank you for all these things. In Christ's name, amen.
Take your hymnals and stand again. Turn to number 509, and we're going to read together, or responsively, the reading that is there, My Life, My Joy, My All. It's number 509. So I'll start, and then you come in. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. O praise the greatness of our God.
He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God, he does no wrong, upright and just is he.
The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, the rock, my Savior. I will praise you, O God, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me.
Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Turn to number 538. And we'll sing, When I Can Read My Title Clear. It's number 538.
Dismiss the children at Children's Church at this time. That last song is just a neat song. Isaac Watts wrote the words long time ago. We want to look at the reason why we can smile at Satan's rage and face a frowning world today as we look in John chapter 17. But before we do that, we need to sing one more time, and we'll sing a cappella, ladies. So just Leslie played just one verse of number 88. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy and crown. And in the last verse, Lord of the nations, Son of God and Son of man, glory and honor, praise, adoration, now and forevermore be thine. We're going to be talking about the Lord, and I thought I should have picked this song as well to sing this morning. But take your hymnals. We'll sing the first and the last verse a cappella. It's an easy song to sing, marvelous words, and it will set our minds toward thinking of the things of the Lord as we look into chapter 17 of John.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, all thou of God and man, the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations, Son of God and Son of Man, glory and honor, praise and adoration, now and forevermore be thine.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Savior. And we do pray, even as we look at this passage, that we would see somewhat of his glory and honor, and he would receive our praise and our adoration for what he has done for us. We pray that you would just open your word to us and teach us from it. Help us to see what a great thing it is that we have a Savior who desires us, that we would praise and adore him and thank you for your purposes in saving us. So just bless your word. Father, before us are any number of situations, some of them very stressful, some of them maybe difficult, some of them relatively easy. Whatever, Lord, I pray that you would just quiet all our hearts before you. May we see you. May we understand what we have in you. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Turn to John chapter 17, and we want to look at just the last few verses, starting at about verse 26. If you remember, in our time in John 17, the several weeks that we've been in it, we've been looking at the various subjects that the Lord addresses in his prayer. He prays about himself, certain things. We sang about his glory. He prays for his disciples, the 11 who were still there. And in verse 20, he prays for me and you specifically, people who have believed through the apostolic teaching. With himself, he prayed, and we talked about this a while back, for his glory. And you say, well, what does he have to pray about his glory? Remember, he was a man. And when the incarnation took place and he became man, he laid aside certain things. And one of them was glory. We did not see him in his glory. And so he's praying about his glory, the glory that was the cross, the culmination of the work of that the Father had given him. He prays about the glory that he had intrinsically as the Son in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Much of Jesus Christ has to do with glory, and he prays about that. And for us and his disciples, he prays about, as Dale even prayed, our protection from sin, from evil, not just sin or evil, but from the evil one, perhaps. Nothing. We're assuming that God answered that prayer, that he would keep us from the evil one, and we have that eternal security, if you will. And nothing evil harms us, because the Father protects us. And he prays about our sanctification and our being set apart. We're set apart from the world. We're not here any longer, even though we're still here. We're not here any longer. And we're set apart to God, and we're not there quite yet, but we will be there when we can read our title clear to that mansion in the sky. And that's when our sanctification will be complete. But in the meantime, he prays that we would live on the basis of being set apart and being set unto. And it allows us to live as believers in a world that is not a believing world. And in philosophy and in lifestyle and in thoughts and in ways of acting and so on. And I said this a couple of weeks ago, but John 17 in my time just studying it, and I trust some of you have caught that same vision. This is really a marvelous passage. I had just, for years and years, just kind of slough over it. Yeah, oh, yeah, the Lord prays for us and kind of pick a verse or two. But what I'm beginning to realize is that this chapter, we look at this as the last prayer of Jesus before the cross, the last prayer. But it's also inherent in it are the first words to disciples. Now, this is the way you're going to live. This is how I will make it when the Lord's not here. So it's his last words, but his first words to me, see, as a disciple. This is how you will live. This is how you will survive. This is how you will do okay. And so that's what chapter 17 is about. And so to do this, to prepare me for life without the Lord's physical presence here, he prays for us. He prays for me. I hope it would be nice if that phrase would just send shivers up my spine or yours. You know, just he prays for me. See? He prays for you. It's not just, oh, bless them all. You know, he's praying individually. See? And he prays so that we can live in a world as his disciples. We bear his name. We are called Christians. Now, you can call yourself anything you want. A disciple, a believer, a born-again believer, whatever. But you're a Christian, see? And you bear the Lord's name. And we are here and now in this time and place. We are really in Washington County, some of you from Benton County, but Washington County, Arkansas, 2009, that's where we are, see? And we are to live in such a way that when people see the fact that I bear his name, see, that will be a testimony to them and to the Father. And the world is watching, if you will, and observing, and they're coming to conclusions about the Father and the Son based on me or you. And he prays for us that we would live in such a way that a testimony would be born before the world and to the world. He prays for disciples in verse 20. He doesn't pray for the world. This is not his worldly interest. This is his disciple interest. I do not ask on behalf of just the 11. But for us, those who believe in me through their word. We have the apostolic word, the words of the apostles. We have them here. And just sort of as an aside issue that we want to spend a little bit of time on, we are not just pie in the sky, makeup, fairy tale, wispy little things. See, we believe in specific facts, specific things about a specific person. See? It's not just I'm a believer or I have faith. See? It is those of us who believe in me through their word. We believe specific things about Jesus Christ, objective revelation, and don't let anyone ever just say, well, that's just a nice book. It's got great thoughts in it, high, lofty religious thoughts. It has objective facts in it that we believe, such as Jesus is the Son of God. Son of God, Son of Man, incarnate, see, full deity of Jesus Christ. We believe that because that's what Scripture reveals. Substitution, a sacrifice on the cross for sin. And not just for sin, but for my sin. See, I believe that. That's objective revelation. I believe that. And I have a new life. I was dead, now I'm alive. A new birth. See, not just a reforming, but a new birth. I believe that. That's objective revelation. And I realize that when I say I believe, it's not just up here that I agree with the facts, but it's a matter of trust and committal. I mean, to be saved, I cried out, Lord, save me. See, that's a committal and a trust. And I lean on him to save me. See, it's much more than just up here. And I believe in the apostle's word that says I am united with him. See. And there's a union there. And there's a life there because of my union with Christ. And I believe all these things on the basis of this word. Not Joseph Smith's word. See. Not Muhammad's words, not Buddha's words or whatever they have. See, remember that Paul said in Galatians, if anybody says anything different than this, even if it's an angel from heaven, let him be accursed. See, I believe through these words of the apostles. And I believe that the authority in here does not come through the church, as some people would have us believe, that the church gives the authority to this book. The authority comes because Jesus Christ says, this is authoritative. See? And we're disciples. We're disciples because we believe all that, and there may be some other little things in there, but if you don't believe what I've just said, you're not a disciple. You're not saved. You're not included in here. You must believe those things. And the Lord prays for all of us here who believe what I went through in outline form. And so he prays for us. Not for security, not for sanctification stuff. But in verse 21 through 23, he prays for our unity. Our one, that's the word through the whole passage. That they may all be one. Verse 22, that they may be one. Verse 23, that they may be perfected in one. It's the same word, only the context means make it unity, see. And it's interesting that he doesn't make the assumption that we're going to be automatically one. See. He prays for it, that we be one. Which means that the oneness, if you will, is not based on an organization. We could get everybody in the organization if we wanted to. If we defined it right, see. But it can't be organizational unity. It's not membership unity. See? What it is, it's a absolute oneness, an absolute harmony based on the way the Father and the Son are related. Is that amazing? I want them to be one, verse 21 says, even as the Father and the Son are one. And whatever you think of the Trinity, that's what He wants for us with each other. See, in terms of the complete harmony. See, the Father and the Son, and you can read it in John and other the rest of the Gospels, one in purpose. One in the one will. They never were conflicting. One action. They never stepped out of line. See, they were one. What the Son did always was what the Father wanted. What the Father wanted, you know, He responded to the Son, and the Son always desired the Father's desires, and they were just one. See, no conflict, no difference. And He says He wants that for us. Now, out of the corner of your eye, you can look at that person next to you. Don't turn your head, but you know, just kind of, I don't know, right? I wish they'd be one with me. And they're looking at you and saying, I wish you'd be one with them. And, you know, I mean, but look around. That's what He's praying for. This, He has revealed something about Himself. And something about the Father, because the Father sent Him to reveal the Father. And so He's revealed something enough that if we all have that, if we all are that, we will be one. And it's something about His character. Verse 22 says, He doesn't say, I revealed to them salvation and they all believe in the gospel. See, He doesn't say that. He says, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. See? Something about if we see Jesus Christ in His glory, see? The glory of the cross and the glory of His person and as the Spirit reveals, the glory of His revelation of God and His glory. And we sing, fairest Lord Jesus, and we really mean that to be superlative. And by the way, there's only one fairest, right? If you have two fairests, you say, well, you can't have two fairests, see. And we see His glory, and we can sing, in the cross of Christ I glory. There's glory in every aspect of His life. And that's what He's transmitted to us. He's given us a vision of Him and an image of Him. And if we all have that same image, if we all have that same understanding of His glory, see, we'll be one. Not if we're all agreed on every issue. Not if we all work side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and, you know. Some of us want to sing all four verses and others only want to sing first and second verse or something. But that's not what we're talking about. See? It's Jesus Christ and His revelation to us. What we know of the Father, what we know of the Son. And you're thinking, that sounds an awful lot like John 17 verse 3. This is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. If we know that and we have that eternal life, because we know how God has revealed Christ in His glory, then we will be one. That's what He prays for. And you want to know how to bear witness to the world? I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know about Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? It's the way we are. And Paul exhorts us that, and we don't have to go through all the verses, but in Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And in Colossians 3, he talks about, and above all this, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. See? Oneness. We are bonded together as we know Jesus Christ. We are bonded together as we understand the revelation that Christ gave of God. And it's that understanding that bonds us together. See? And that's what Jesus prayed for you and for me and for us and other believers as well. And this should be natural, but he had to pray for it. Because it just doesn't seem always to work out that way. But it should be natural. When you were saved, when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, and you were saved, he called us, he granted us in 2 Peter chapter 1, he granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence, so that by them ye might be partakers of the divine nature. See? He shows you himself and says, be like that, and that allows us to partake of his nature. See? And if you have his nature and I have his nature, and we are both called to the same picture of glory and excellence in Christ, then we should be one. See? And the question is, how can we who all have all of that together not be one? How can it be? How can we so easily be alienated from one another? How can we be set against each other so easily? See, we have to ask ourselves that question. See? I mean, we have a common foundation. One body, one spirit, one hope of one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. We have all of that together. Identically, every one of us, see? That's the foundation for our life. How can we not be one in our life? See? It's based on what we know of Jesus Christ. He revealed to us his glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 has an interesting little ending to it where Paul is comparing the glory, you know, of the law versus the glory of the spiritual life that a believer has. See? And he talks about the glorious ministry that takes place in us, the Spirit ministers with glory. And it ends with, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. See? We see his glory and we look at that and step by step by step, glory to glory to glory to glory. And the Spirit works that in our life and we are all transformed in a process into the same image. See? We are being changed into an image of the glory of Christ. We ought to be one. See? And it's extremely important, and we just mentioned it in passing before, see. It's important for your life here today and tomorrow and the next day, how many days the Lord gives you still here, see. Northwest Arkansas. verse 21, that the world may believe that the Father sent the Son. Verse 23, so that the world may know that the Father sent the Son and loved them. See, you want the world to know that God, in whatever sense it means, He loved them. See, don't put it on your bumper sticker and say, "Smile, God loves you." See, that's not the testimony to bear. See, if you want a bumper sticker, say, "Hey, look at me and my Christian friends and see how we get along. Come to church on Sunday and see how we get along. Visit my home and see how we get along. See? See how we love one another. See how we are one in purpose and in will and desire and action. See how we are." See? Ephesians chapter 3 says the Lord is going to use a body such as this, the universal church, and He's going to hold that up to the whole universe and say, "Look at what I've done. Look at how wise I am." See? Now, we're not involved in that universal process. We don't do that, but we do it down here. See? You want to see the glory of Christ, we say to the world. Look at us, how we are one. See? And this is what the Lord prays for. And when we read this chapter, I need to ask myself, am I one with you? And as He rode into Jerusalem, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son." And some people said, "It's an angel." And some people said, "It's thunder." Anyway, never did that before. Call down heaven. Hey, but we are the testimony. See, we are the testimony. And if we're not one, then we have to say, why not? What is it that we do not believe about Jesus Christ? See? What is it that we don't know about His glory and His ministry and the Father sending Him? What don't we know, see, if we're not one? See? He's one with the Father. We're to be one with each other in that same thing. What is it that we don't understand? See? If I'm not one with you, there's something missing. Well, that's one thing He prays for us, and that's just an ongoing challenge, but we need to be aware of it, that we need to be together, one, not just fellowship dinners, a coffee pot, Sunday school classes, whatever. See, we need to be one in purpose and in will and in desire and in actions and in goals, and because it's all based on our common knowledge of Jesus Christ. But then He prays for another thing, not just for how I live here, but this is the most fantastic prayer. He prays for me where I'm going to be there in eternity. See? He prays that I will be with Him forever. He prays for my eternal life. Remember back in John 14, He said, "I'm going and see, I'm doing this so that where I am, there you may be also." See? My eternity is in this prayer. Just before He's going to the cross, at the end of His life, and in essence, leaving this world to go back to the Father, see, He prays for me and for you as a believer. He prays, "Hey, Father, I'm coming back there. I want them with me." See? I think sometimes we take getting to heaven too casually. Going to go to heaven when I die. I'm going to be in heaven. And it's really special. It's really special. Because he said he wants me with him for all eternity. Verse 24, Father, these are special people. You gave them to me. In the working out of God's redemptive purposes, I was given to Jesus Christ. And he says, since you did that, Father, you make sure, Father, that he is with me. See? We worked this out before the foundation of the world. I want him with me for all eternity. Is that a prayer? See? That's more than just going to go to heaven when I die. See? I'm going to be with him for all eternity because he wants me there. See? And I will see his glory. See? Verse 24, so that they may see my glory which you have given. I will see things of Jesus Christ, and all I'll say is, I never knew. I never knew. See? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 ends with that little thing. We see now partially, but we'll see fully. We know partially, but we really will know then. And 1 John 3:2 says, we will see him as he is. We will see the glorified Jesus Christ. And that's going to be a magnificent, great day when God, in one sense, restores his glory to him, and he is totally in his glory, and I'm going to be there. See? He wants me there at his day. O righteous Father, see, these are my people. And maybe that use of the word righteous, just read the word just. Why does he say righteous, Father? He's not talking about sin. He's talking about righteous, just. It's right, Father. And you are right. And you deal justly. See, you deal properly. And it is right and proper, Father. See, I don't offend the justness of a righteous God. See? And it's almost as though the Lord's saying, hey, I died for them. I paid the penalty for their sin. I propitiated your anger. See? I satisfied the demands of the law that condemned them. Righteous, just Father, just be just. Just be right. Bring them with me. Bring them to me. See? It is right for the Father to have me with the Lord for all eternity. That's a neat thought. I don't know if you get that. That's what I get. See? That's how he ends his prayer. He wants me. Not smile, God loves me, although that's not too bad if I know what I'm talking about. But it's just glow because Jesus wants me with him, see? For believers. So another thing this prayer does, not only what he prays for me, for here and also for eternity there, see? Another thing this prayer does is cause me to think, cause you perhaps to think, am I included in it? Because this is only for his disciples. This is only for those who believe on him in the gospel, the apostolic word, if you will. See? And if you are not a believer, if you have not placed your faith in the one whom the Father sent, the Son, as the Savior of the world. And if that's not your faith, if that's not your trust and your commitment, then you're not included here. And you have no there. See, he's not praying for your future. Not praying for your eternality, if you will. See, you need to believe. You need to believe on him whom the Father sent. You need to believe on Jesus Christ. But for the rest of us, we can really sing that last verse of that neat little song. May I but safely reach my home, my God, my heaven, my all. And just kind of read back into this and say, he really wants me there. The Father gave me to him. He wants me eternally with him. And it's a marvelous, marvelous prayer. And I trust it fits you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, the concepts are too big for us. But I pray you would give us a sense of anticipation based on what we realize we are. For those of us who have believed, the Lord has prayed for us for here, that we would show your glory to a world, and for there, Father, for all eternity, that we might see his glory. I pray that you would just give us a heart to fit into this prayer. Some to believe and others to rejoice. We thank you for it in your name. Amen. As always, by the way, if you're sitting there and saying, I don't know what he's talking about, that's not a description of me. That's not how I look at my future. I would be glad to talk to you afterwards and through the Word give you the revelation of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But let's take our hymnals, please, and sing a hymn that I think fits the closing part of that, number 490. I am his, and he is mine. We'll stand and we'll sing all four verses, but just understand these words, a confession that for now and forever we are his. pray together. Our Father, we come with thankfulness for your calling, for your promise. It says that we will be with you, and just the comfort that you want us with you. We're thankful for that. And Father, may we be one in this world, and may we show the oneness of the Godhead. And Father, may we be faithful as we go and as we reflect and as we just put this very passage into, build it into our lives today and tomorrow and this week. And we would pray this now in Christ's name. Amen.